Sage's Stories.
Welcome to today's episode of Sage's Stories, the official podcast of Sage's, the Society of American Gastrointestinal and Endoscopic Surgeons. Please make sure to hit the like button and subscribe so you can stay up to date with our most recent episode and enjoy the show.
All right, welcome to episode 24 of Sage's Stories, where we shine the light on some of Sage's most impactful leaders. I'm your co-host, Dr. Kevin L. Hayek, coming to you from downtown Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, and I'm Dr. Shirin Tofai, and believe it or not, I am also coming to you from downtown Cleveland, Ohio. It's so beautiful here, Kevin.
You brought the sunshine with you.
Thank you. It's home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and many notable Americans, including our own Kevin. You're from Ohio.
Cleveland. Well,
I never knew
an
that.
An hour south of here, but.
Never been mentioned before.
It's never been mentioned.
And of course, this year, it is Cleveland is home to our Sage's annual meeting. You know, this is our second podcast where we've been co-hosting together in the same city, which I think is so awesome. And for those of you that are interested, please check out episode 4, where Kevin and I went to Los Angeles together and we interviewed Dr. George Bursey. That was our first time we co-hosted at the same city. And that was a couple years ago.
It's a couple years ago. That was a super fun episode. I really enjoyed it, Shirin, when we get a chance to host together and in person. And today is one of those chances. We are changing up the format a little, not only in the approach, being in person and all, but also the content. We dabbled once in episode 7, interviewing two guests, Dr. Archana Ramaswamy and Jake Greenberg.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, right?
Yeah.
Well, for the first time on the show, we will have three surgeons,
yay,
all of whom were previous Sage's Stories guests. Please welcome Drs. Aurora Pryor, Steven Schweitzberg, and Christopher Schlachta. Welcome back to Sage's Stories, my friends.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome.
It's great to be back.
The pleasure is all ours, and we're in downtown Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes! We have a drinking game going on with Cleveland today. All right, well, I encourage everyone who has not already listened to these podcasts to go back. Dr. Pryor was on episode 3, Dr. Schweitzberg episode 20, and Dr. Schlachta episode 22. You can hear about their life stories, and they were just really amazing guests. I highly encourage you all to go back if you haven't already heard of their stories. However, because that's already been gone through, rather than our traditional format of asking you to tell us a little bit about yourselves, because we've already done that, perhaps we can start with some updates in your lives since our original episode. Let's start with Rory.
So I guess the biggest update is about a year and a half ago, I moved to Northwell,
yes,
where I am now the system director for bariatric surgery, and I'm the surgeon in chief at Long Island Jewish Hospital.
I saw that. We just interviewed one of your fellows.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, congrats.
Thank you.
Well, I guess since our podcast, we're excited that in collaboration with our Department of Orthopedics, we're opening up our own physician-owned ambulatory surgery center.
Wow.
We've taken the hospital as a partner, not as an owner, and we are trying to get ready for a value-based care world.
Wait, so your employees of the hospital and you're allowed to have a stake?
Our practice is a 501c3 corporation.
Oh.
And so nobody's an employee of the hospital. And our teaching employment is separate from our clinical care.
I love it. Well, that's a great, great thing to do.
We're trying.
Congrats on that. And Chris, we just recently finished a podcast with you. Anything new?
What's new since like 2 weeks ago?
What new can I possibly tell you? I will say that on the advice of Dr. Pryor, I signed up for the Brandeis MBA program.
That's right.
And I'm going to be finished that in 2.5 weeks.
How's
the
course
work
going?
Lack of sleep and panic in my voice.
Yay. Congrats.
Well, what's new, he's going to be Sage's president at the end of the week.
Yes, this is true. Congratulations on that. It's going to be a great meeting.
I can hardly wait.
Yes.
Well, thanks for those updates. The reason we brought you all together is we would like to focus the content for today's show on innovation and investment. with specific attention on Sage's Ingenuity. We will post a link to the Sage's Ingenuity site for those who want to learn more. And we did hear about it from Steve and Chris a little bit on their last podcast, but maybe we could get another brief introduction to what it is. And again, maybe let's start with Rory. Let's tell us from your standpoint, what is this? And you're a current board member and president.
So I think a lot of Sage's Ingenuity spun out of an idea several years ago when we realized we needed to re-embrace the innovation roots of Sage's. And this was a way to come up with innovation, but also in a for-profit way. So we would not be so dependent on industry. And we worked with Sage's, with legal, to figure out how we could set this up in a legal fashion. So essentially we have a C-blocker corporation. So we are owned by Sage's, but we can be for profit, which is unique to how Sage's is set up. And so then we've gone through and set up different potential revenue streams under the Sage's Ingenuity umbrella. The first one being the Sync, which is our investment arm. We're also now working on a consulting branch, which I'm happy to talk more about in a bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, toying with other ideas. We've grown our board this year with some new board members and are continuing to be creative in ways that we can bring finances back to Sage's.
This is great. I think for those of us who've been members of multiple societies, I've always been impressed that Sage's has always been very financially savvy throughout the years. And so this seems like a very good like offshoot of the same kind of way that Sage's has run itself. How did you come up with the name Sage's Ingenuity and Sync, and are they the same? And can you explain the history behind that, Chris?
Well, Sage's Ingenuity was just some brainstorming, and we wanted to, you know, we wanted to have the Sage's name in it, and then we wanted to tie it to something clever and progressive, and what's like, you know, a cool word that Sage's would use. And so I was told to come up with some options. So we had Sage's Ingenuity, we had Sage-Annuity, and then everybody wanted
like
some conservative, super dry thing like the official C-blocker corporation for Sage's. And we put that to a board vote and they went for the middle, which was the plan. So there we go. And then the Sync was just the Sage's Investment Network.
That's an acronym, S-I-N-C.
Right. And then we realized that that spelled sin.
Sin, yeah.
Thought people probably already invest in their own sins and didn't want to invest in ours. So then we said, well, let's put a C on the end of it and make it the Sage's Investment Network Collaborative, or the Sync, mm-hmm. which I think is synonymous with, you know, being in synchronicity and so on. And of course, somebody then immediately pointed out that, well, I don't want to put my money down the sink. And I said, no, that's not the sink we're talking about.
It's a C, right. Not a K.
In sync.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to teach your phone to get it right when you're dictating. When you think about the history of Sage's as a 40-year-old organization,
In
the beginning it was new. You could call up companies and you could talk to the president or the chief of marketing and go, we need some money for this project. And they could say yes or no. And the world's really changed. And the first really big change for Sage's was the establishment of the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And
when was that?
Oh, about 15, 20 years ago now. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it just goes, oh, well, this will take 15 or 20 years. Well, if you wait long enough, 15 or 20 years actually happens and it has millions of dollars. And it's been integral to the financial health of the society, because as we look at industry, there's, you know, mergers and acquisitions and the number of companies out there continue to shrink, and that companies don't give money so much directly anymore. It's through grant requests and it's gotten very complicated. So we needed to once again diversify our revenue stream opportunities for the society. And we thought that this would be an excellent opportunity. We're not the first society ever to have a for-profit. You know, the AMA has made millions and millions and millions off of their CPT coding enterprise.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
The AGA has had a for-profit arm for a long time. We're just actually catching up in some ways, but it requires a sea change of thought. Mm-hmm. You know, this was controversial. And we've been very thoughtful and careful and sensitive to introduce this concept to continue to diversify our revenue to support the society. It's a for-profit, but we all work for free.
In true Sage's fashion.
In true Sage's fashion.
I love the goals, so I figured maybe each of you could tackle, there's three goals, and we'll see those on the website, but the first goal is to support SAGES in gaining financial autonomy through alternate revenue streams. So Steve, you want to tackle that one? So what are going to be the ways that we can do that?
Wow, so this came together around the evolution of Shark Tank. So mm-hmm. a lot of societies have had a Shark Tank, and you get to the end of it all and everybody claps their hands or gives you some advice. But I thought it could use some authenticity and put some skin in the game. And the Shark Tank is in 2 days.
I love Shark Tank. The SAGES Shark Tank is awesome.
Super exciting. And when you think about it in terms of a prize, we've gone through a lot of evolutions that, well, if we give money, then we own it. That became too complicated. It's a prize. Mm. And it's on the same order of magnitude as a research grant. So it's real money for a startup, but not so much money that it can't be deployed this way. And as we thought about how we could leverage our expertise, we realized that we needed a partner. You know, we don't do our own AV. We go get the pros. You know, so we went and found a professional venture capital investment firm that would want to partner with SAGES, which is unusual, and started to build these mechanisms. And we've had to do a lot of work around conflict of interest. And Chris has been the member of the SAGES exec that's had to carry the water back to the exec for all the sort of innovative things we want to do. And we finally found a place and space where we could get everybody, including the, you know, ACCME, to go, okay, this is your space where you can operate, and these are your conflicts, and those who have these conflicts can't do CME. So I can't do any more CME talks at SAGES because of my role in Sync.
Oh, interesting.
And because I am both an investor and run the Sync investment fund, but I'm okay with that. I've had my time on the podium, sure. And I want to serve the society in this fashion. So the work of the team, and Rory was president during some of this, and Chris, and trying to find a place that everybody could live with to start building these alternative streams. This is a long-term thing.
Okay.
It's like the foundation. It, you know, and we have, and Rory can talk more about sort of the shorter horizon stuff that we want to do, but this is a 10-year play. This is no different than the foundation to invest in these companies, have some wins, let it percolate. And really what we're talking about right now is Sync Fund 1.
Yeah.
Our measure of success is when we get to Sync Funds 2 and beyond.
So the current Shark Tank, which is awesome, right now, if someone enters Shark Tank as a contestant and gets all the way to the finals, which is at the meeting, whatever prize money they get is theirs, and there's no attachment of any kind of
non-dilutive equity. Funding. It's from SAGES, not SAGES Ingenuity.
Got it.
So SAGES owns nothing. It gives the prize for the winner of the competition, but they enter into our ecosystem. And it brings a lot of innovative things to our ecosystem. We've tied it to SAGES NBT, which has been a big project that Chris has worked on. And we want to be leaders in innovation. And talk is cheap, and you are what you do.
So it's on brand for you all, but you're not. Does SAGES Ingenuity have linked into these upstarts, startups?
No, but they have the privilege of entering into the SAGES Ingenuity ecosystem to be considered for investment.
Got it. Okay.
Then they're brought before Sync. So Sync is one of the subsets of what we do in SAGES Ingenuity. And for Sync, we have investors and we have partners in Varia Ventures, which is some people who actually are specialized in venture capital and can help us with the business side of these investments. And then we have a investment committee, which looks at the different companies, including the Shark Tank people,
winner.
If they're interested. Winner or any participants, actually.
Okay.
It's not limited to the winner. Anybody who's affiliated or knows about us is welcome to submit for consideration of investment. And then they pitch to us, and we have a process where we will review those technologies, get input from the Varia venture people to see if they think it makes sense from a business standpoint, and then our investment committee votes invest or not invest.
There was a winner a couple years ago. She was a medical student, fourth year student, who was presenting. Yes, Yes.
They're starting to sell product now.
Well, so I was there when she won Her dad is a surgeon, and the following year she was at a booth selling the Vampiro suctioning device. It was just so cool to see, and now she's a resident, so really interesting stuff.
And this is a multi-level opportunity for both Sage's members and the society. So from a society level, the Sage's Ingenuity, from a financial piece, we split the profit of what the VC would normally take.
Mm-hmm.
That supports the society. But the members and the friends of Sage's who invest in the fund, if the fund does well, they as individuals, so if you go, well, why would you do that? It is to democratize access to early stage startup investing at a dollar level that is in reach for actually most people. If you, and Rory has started products from scratch, and I'm sure you went around asking for 200,000 and, you know, upwards, but you can be in the sync fund for as little as, I'm not trying to sell here, but the whole point is to bring it in reach for physicians for as little as $10,000, which from a venture capital opportunity is pretty unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And you can invest as much as you want, but if you want it to be part of this, then you can invest in the fund. And by investing in the fund, it's like investing in a mutual fund. It doesn't make you CME ineligible because you're not an owner of a company. You're an investor in a fund.
Sure.
But don't answer yet, because if you invest now, you also get this set of Ginsu knives.
All right, let's get it.
Okay, goal number two is...
It's not in our budget, Chris.
...is to strategically invest in developing technology in support of surgical innovation. So can we focus on the term strategic, Rory? So who determines where the investments are made?
So that's what I was alluding to a little bit earlier, is that we have this investment committee, and those are people who have experience in new technologies. Some of them are Sage's leaders, like the three of us that are currently here at this table, but we have other people who are not as well recognized within the world of Sage's, who we have somebody from Europe who has really expertise in really bring new technologies to market. We have somebody who's a trauma surgeon and an entrepreneur who just has dived deep and done companies before. And so we have these experts on our panel looking at these things and really thinking about what makes sense for us to invest in, and also what we think has profitability for our investors.
That's great. The third goal is to pursue financial opportunities and services in support of the Sage's constituency. So Chris, tackle that one.
Well, I think they all go together. So, you know, our original idea was, how do we make Sage's a magnet for new innovation? So we've created this opportunity for startup companies to come and seek funding and to bring their ideas to Sage's. By funding those companies, if there's a return on investment, you've heard Steve already say that we're gonna get some of the revenue from that. And then the third part of that then is to give our Sage's members the opportunity. You go to a meeting, you see a new technology on the podium and you say, that looks like a great idea. How do I get a piece of that?
Mm.
It's through this opportunity that you can get a piece of that. You can invest in the sync fund.
So can you walk us through the process? Let's say Kevin here, he's got $10,000 just burning in his pocket.
Yeah.
Don't take it out yet. Do they go to the website? They sign up? Do they need to have any specific details as to what their interests are? Can any Sage's member do it? Is it open to the public?
So you've got to put the money in unmarked bills in a paper bag. You hide it between the pipes on the third floor washer,
okay,
and then you call the number.
No,
there's a Sage's Ingenuity website, and if you go there, there's a link to the sync fund. And when you click on that, it gives you all of the instructions for how to register. There's a whole approval process that you have to go through. I mean, we follow the rules very carefully. And then you can decide how much you would like to invest at that point.
And clearly, if for some reason the process is broken, you can reach out to any one of us and we'll fix it. So venture investing is speculative investing.
No.
And so you have to be a qualified investor. Now, fortunately, all surgeons meet that bottom floor test, which is, so it doesn't really work so well for residents unless they happen to have a corpus of capital. which is the bottom test is an income of about 200K or a total net worth of $1 million. So for most surgeons.
Sorry, that, Kevin.
Gotta work a little harder, buddy.
I'm coming to LA.
You have to come to LA.
So for most surgeons, the test is easy to meet, but we also open it up to friends of Sages. So as a qualified investor, and this isn't a Sages rule, this is an SEC rule. Mm-hmm. So, you know, mm-hmm. all speculative investment has minimal investor qualifications, okay. mm-hmm. but we're a universe of surgeons. And this idea, you know, we have partnered with many other societies throughout the history of Sages. We took it to our friends at the AGA, and they've rocked and rolled with it in the same kind of way. Mm. And AGA is even bigger than Sages. So we're here fertilizing investment and investment opportunities for our members.
Got it.
And what about a company who's interested? Like maybe you take that on, Rory. There's a new company, they start in their garage, they built this new vacuum dressing for, you know, a drain that they wanna pitch. How do they?
So there are two ways. Right now we're talking about sync and uh-huh. funding. So if there's a company who's interested in funding, they actually can go through that sync link or talk to Steve, who runs our investment committee. And he actually does the first level of screening to make sure it's in the wheelhouse of things that we actually invest in. Steve might better talk through the process.
So think of it like a journal, where you ever get a reject in 2 days from a paper. It's because some editor just flashed it, and you had the opportunity to just keep going. So the pitches and opportunities come in through the sync team, which is right now Linda Schultz. Mm-hmm. And she'll package up a pitch deck for me to have a look at. Mm-hmm. And if it's too far afield or if it just doesn't look like it's something that we'd be interested in, we'll take a pass. Otherwise, we will push it forward to the SYNC Investment Committee, to review the pitch deck. And then we'll decide, do we want to hear a pitch? If we decide that we want to hear a pitch, then we'll arrange for a Zoom process where they'll get a period of time. And then we'll discuss whether or not, thank you very much, or whether we want to start the diligence process, which is more than whether the idea is just kind of cute and interesting, but whether the company has an architecture that will allow it to succeed, whether or not they have the right leadership team. And so it's a real VC process, but we've front-loaded a lot of the work with our expertise in surgery to possible to be a viable partner for the VC.
So it's like a shark tank in the sink. It's like a shark sink.
It is a shark sink.
but then phase two, because that was kind of option one, and to be eligible for investment, you have to be far enough along. We can look at your business plan, and it has to make sense for us. If it's somebody who has this idea and they don't know what to do with it or really how to move things forward because they haven't had experience, that's the second phase that we're setting up. Is our Sages technology, and I don't even remember what STEP stands for.
Surgical Technology Engagement Program.
So, back at it, so yeah. Cut that part out. Surgical Technology Engagement Platform. And this is a consulting business that's gonna be for companies that okay. are trying to figure stuff out, so we can hook them up with somebody who can talk them through the process of approval pathway, prototyping, you know, design if they need engineering help. Hmm. So that's currently being set up. And the other thing that STEP is doing is actually getting surgeons to be consultants for new companies too. So if they need to talk to somebody who's an expert in the space of HPB, they may say they really need to talk to somebody like a Kevin Hayek, and then they get you.
And not just startups, Rory.
Not just startups, anybody.
That's the consulting arm.
That's the consulting arm.
So that's the step. So yeah, okay. We've got potential partners from giant big industry partners you already know who want us to set up a, you know, curated platform that they can talk to of surgeons, of experts in a space.
And the curation is the special sauce. We know everybody.
Yeah.
And many of us get these emails from the different, and you get emails like, why do you writing me about urology or, you know, nutrition? So we think that we can offer up a very specific group of people for them to talk to.
Got it.
Go ahead.
And what's also pretty interesting is they know some people, but they don't know everybody.
Right.
So if you want to know somebody who's not using their product now, they want to get somebody who fits a certain mold, a surgeon that is a niche that they don't have access to. That's where we can really dive deep into our stages, members, and set this up. Yeah.
This can be a very huge independent company that needs full-time people running it.
Correct.
Yeah, I love it.
And we're a startup, so we have to invest like everybody else.
That's right. And Sages is investing in Sages Ingenuity, right, because they own it. But this is an opportunity for the members to earn some revenue for their ideas. It's very common that we go to industry booths and so on and give away our intellectual property for free,
all the time.
Right?
Yeah.
They show you their technology, they say, what do you think? Or they take you into their technology booth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very exciting. I'm getting a chance to see something brand new that nobody's ever seen before. And you give away your free IP. So now we're saying there is value to your IP. And,
yes.
And these companies, they want that IP and they are willing to pay for it if it comes to them in a coordinated, curated
fashion. I don't
think
surgeons understand how valuable their ideas and thoughts are. You're right. So many go in there and offer a full hour of their time completely free with new ideas and thought processes and everything just completely given to for-profit companies at no charge.
Yeah.
And we need the for-profit companies because they have to make the product, but they have made millions of dollars through our usage.
Yeah.
And to create an opportunity to funnel that back either to themselves and to the society, and if they choose, they could choose to give up their honorarium and give it to the foundation, take the tax credit if they wish. But to be able to keep it in the house of surgery, our house of surgery at Sages,
mm-hmm.
Is something that we're pretty bullish on, and we're really, Rory has already got this thing off and running. It's pretty amazing.
Since the start of the initiative, what's been the development and the growth of it? Can you share any updates on how it's doing? And
you're talking about Sage's Ingenuity? Or
yeah, Sage's Ingenuity.
Well,
and
so Steve's been through this with you before about how Sage's Ingenuity came into existence, right? We started with the Shark Tank.
Yes,
and we said we're
going
to have some investment, then we needed that. So what have we got now? We've gone through the process of sorting out how to create the investment vehicle for our members and making it a fund and clearing all the ACCME concerns. We're still in that, what's the initial phase in for a startup company? The valley of death, right? Where we're still bringing in funds and we're not seeing a return on investment yet. But the flow will come. The day is going to come when Sages says, I can't remember what we used to do without Sage's Ingenuity as a revenue source for us, for sure.
Because that's where the foundation is, but it didn't start that way. First 5 years and FLS was like that. There were discussions inside of Sages whether we should tank FLS because we'd put more than $1 million into FLS, and we can't imagine life without FLS. And the like any other startup, you know, we're revenue, you know, negative, but we have a plan and we have some short term. The beauty of the consulting project is it delivers revenue on a shorter term. So your product may be some big fancy thing, but you got to sell some widgets to stay alive and reduce your need on investment. And so we're a startup engaging other startup. It's a B2B model in its purest form.
I really love it. Well, this has been fantastic. I think Sages has such a great positive aura about it and a great history. And this is just yet another offshoot of it that I think will be fantastic. I think this episode hopefully will serve as an excellent primer for anyone who's interested in participating, whether in Sages itself, in the industry, or a friend of Sages. So we will make sure in this podcast to include all the pertinent email links to promote Sages Ingenuity, Sync. Of course, everyone needs to go back and listen to all your stories from our past episodes. I look forward to working with you all and seeing you all through the meeting this year in where, Kevin?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay. So thanks so much for joining us today. We are looking forward to a great meeting. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And that wraps up today's episode of Sage's Stories. You can view the show notes for any links to sites we referenced today. Visit sages.org for membership information and for the most recent news from our society. Follow us on Twitter at @Sages_updates. Make sure you hit the like button and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. See you again next time. And remember, you can't spell minimally invasive surgery without Sages.